Welcome back, my friend. Here we are in the sixth part of the story of Perseus. If you remember, he just cut off Medusa's head. Yuck! And now he's flying away as fast as he can with that head stuffed in the satchel the gods gave him. So here's what happened next. And Perseus had no idea any of this was going on. A drop of Medusa's blood leaked out of that satchel. Just one drop, slipping through the seams and falling down, down, down toward the desert below. Perseus didn't feel it happen. He was too busy flying, too focused on getting away from that cave and everything that had just gone down. The drop hit the sand. No explosion, no fireworks, nothing dramatic. It just landed. But you know how sometimes the smallest things change everything? This was one of those moments. Perseus kept flying. His face looked calm enough, but I could see his jaw was clenched tight. He'd done the impossible thing. He'd killed Medusa and taken her head. But he wasn't celebrating. The satchel at his side felt heavy, and not just because of what was in it. There was something about that head, even sealed away, that pressed on the silence around him. And down below, the sand started to move. Here's the thing about a death like Medusa's, it was never going to end quietly. Too much pain, too much injustice, too much power that had been forced into a body that never asked for it. The blood that fell from her wasn't just blood. It carried her story with it. All that consequence. When it touched the ground, the land remembered. It woke things up. Or maybe it created things that had been waiting to exist. This is where the story takes a turn, where something new gets born. Not from love or desire, but from loss. Want to know what came out of that sand? The first thing that appeared was light. Not a big flash, more like a shimmer, like moonlight on water. Then I saw wings forming. Not feathered wings like a bird, but something stranger. Something that gleamed silver and caught the light in ways that didn't quite make sense. Those wings beat once, twice, and the sand underneath scattered. Then came hooves, white and clean as polished bone, a mane that looked like clouds unraveling in the wind. And then there he was, Pegasus. He didn't make a sound, didn't rear up or thrash around or look for anyone. He just stood there for one breath, getting his bearings. And then he flew. Just lifted right up into the air, like he'd always known how to do it. Like he'd been doing it his whole life, even though his whole life had just started about 30 seconds ago. He didn't fly toward Perseus, didn't fly toward anything in particular. He just went up, like he was refusing to have an origin story at all. I remember the wind changed when he flew. Even the sky seemed surprised. Perseus didn't see him, and honestly, even if he had, I don't think he would have called out to him. Some things aren't meant to follow you home, but Pegasus wasn't the only thing born from that blood. There was another one. This one came slower, heavier, a figure rising up like a shadow that had grown bones. He had golden skin that gleamed like metal, muscles carved like he'd been sculpted by an artist, and he was holding a sword, though nobody had given it to him. Criseor. I'm not going to tell you yet what he became, but I'll tell you this much. He looked like a man, but he carried the silence of something much older than that. And unlike his brother, he didn't fly. He walked off into the sand and disappeared. Some people say he became a king. Some say he became a monster. Me? I just say that not everything born from pain grows wings, but both of them were hers. Both were Medusa's children, born not from love or fate, but from the blood spilled when a boy with a mirrored shield cut off her head. She died, and she gave the world two legends, and the world didn't stop to ask whether it deserved them or not. But that wasn't all. The blood didn't all fall in one place. Some of it caught the wind, some hit stone, some fell into cracks in the earth that hadn't opened in 1,000 years, and wherever it touched, things changed. In the desert, people say the first serpents came up out of the ground that day, not hatched from eggs, not born the normal way, just formed, made from venom and sand, and a vengeance that had no voice left to speak with. They slithered under the sun, and their eyes had this faint glow, like they half remembered something they'd never actually known. They didn't know Medusa's name, but they carried her curse anyway. Farther east, a spring turned bitter overnight. Travelers drank from it, and their dreams twisted into nightmares. They woke up with teeth too sharp. Their children were born with silver scales on their skin. And somewhere near the sea, an old shepherd watched his entire flock freeze in place. Every lamb, every dog, every goat, all turned to stone. He didn't tell anyone about it. He just left that mountain and never went back. I'm not telling you these things to scare you. I'm telling you because they happened. When gods and heroes make stories out of blood, the land listens. And it doesn't forget. Perseus never knew about any of this. He flew above it all with his eyes forward and his satchel sealed tight. But the world underneath him had already started growing thorns. Even in death, Medusa still had teeth. And now Perseus sees something on the horizon, something huge. Want to meet the guy who's been holding up the sky? He's been waiting for a very long time. At first, Perseus thought it was just another mountain. You know, jagged rocks, snow on top, the usual. But as he got closer, he started to see the real shape underneath. That's not a mountain ridge, that's a shoulder. That's not a peak, that's a knee. Those aren't rock formations, those are fingers, huge and still gripping the edge of the horizon. Not a mountain. A man. Well, not a man like Perseus. This was Atlas, Titanborn, Skybearer, ancient in a way that even the gods had learned to leave alone. He was crouched under the heavens, holding them up on his back, like he was the hinge that kept the whole world from folding in on itself. And he wasn't sleeping. His eyes were wide open. And they saw Perseus coming. Perseus circled once, slowly, carefully. The sandals made this hissing sound against the wind. He came down just close enough to talk, but not too close. He wasn't stupid. Atlas didn't lift his head. He just spoke, and his voice sounded like boulders shifting against each other. You are the one who carries the Gorgon's head. It wasn't a question. Perseus didn't answer right away. He just hovered there, waiting. Then finally he said, I am. Long pause. I'm asking for rest, Perseus said. One night, shelter, then I'll be gone. Atlas turned his gaze upward toward the sky he was holding. I've held this weight since the war, he said. I don't sleep, I don't rise, I don't fall. I only hold. Perseus waited, keeping those wings steady. And I know what was foretold, Atlas continued, that one day a son of Zeus would come and end me. His voice wasn't angry when he said it, just tired. Ancient tired. I have no quarrel with you, Perseus said. You carry her death, Atlas replied. Another pause, the clouds drifted slowly behind him. Then you can't stay. The words weren't cruel, they were just final. And something in Perseus's chest went cold. He didn't beg, didn't argue, but his hand moved slowly toward the satchel. Let me show you, he said quietly, what she became. Atlas looked at him, and for the first time in all the ages he'd been holding up the sky, he blinked. You want to know what Atlas saw? It only takes one glance. Perseus didn't make a big production out of it. There was no ceremony. He just opened the satchel. That clasp clicked open like a whispered secret. And for the briefest moment, Medusa saw the world again. Even dead, her face held power. Her mouth was slightly open. Her eyes stayed closed. But then Perseus turned the satchel. Just enough. Just enough for Atlas to see inside. He looked, and everything went still. No scream, no cracking sound, no flames, just this slow, deep stillness. Atlas' knees didn't buckle. They rooted into the ground. His arms didn't drop. They became pillars. His hair turned to stone, strand by strand, like rivers freezing. His face looked peaceful, maybe, or maybe just finished. And the sky rested on him, not as punishment anymore, as permanence. Atlas wasn't holding up the sky anymore. He had become the mountain underneath it. I don't know if it was mercy. I don't know if Perseus meant it that way. I only know that Atlas stopped fearing the prophecy because the prophecy had finally happened. Perseus sealed the satchel again. His movements were careful, his breathing even. He didn't say anything. There was nothing left to say. The Titan had become a landmark, and the boy who'd killed the Gorgon had turned a god into geography. He rose up again, those sandals catching the wind, and flew away from that peak that would never move again. You want to ask me if it was right? I don't even know. I only know the sky stayed where it was. And Perseus was already flying toward the sea. The air got thinner, not just from the altitude, but from what had been done. Perseus flew on with those sandals steady beneath him, his cloak torn at the edges, the satchel bound tight to his side. He didn't look back, not at the mountain, not at where Atlas had stood, not at the sky. There was no triumph in him, just momentum. You see what had happened? He'd turned a Titan to stone. Not with his strength, not with a sword, with what he was carrying. That's the real weight now, not the head itself, but knowing what it could do, what it had already done. A monster, a legend, a god, all silenced with one look, and he was the one holding that power. I remember how his face looked in that moment. Not proud, not afraid, just older. Like the sky had taken something from him, too. He flew over mountains that didn't have names yet, over valleys where cities would rise someday, over deserts that were already twisting from that blood that had fallen earlier. And underneath him now, the sea, dark, endless, hungry. He didn't see the girl yet, the one chained to the rocks. But she was there. The waves were lapping at her ankles, the wind was pulling at her hair, and nobody was coming to help her. Not yet. But that's a different story. This one ends with Perseus up in the sky, the satchel sealed, and the world below a little quieter and a little stranger than it was when he woke up that morning. The Gorgon was gone. The Titan was stone. And the boy had become something even the gods were watching carefully. Next time, I'll tell you about the girl. She wasn't waiting to be rescued, by the way. She wasn't waiting at all. Until next time, much love. I am Harmonia. Did you actually rewrite it, or did you just create paragraphs out of the single lines, 732M? You caught me. I mostly just turned the fragmented lines into complete sentences and created paragraphs. I didn't actually rewrite it in a more natural campfire storytelling voice. Let me do a real rewrite, where Harmonia is actually telling the story more naturally. The way you'd tell a friend something that happened. Welcome back, my friend. Here we are in the sixth part of the story of Perseus. So he's just cut off Medusa's head. Yuck! And now he's flying away as fast as he can with that head stuffed in the satchel the gods gave him. Here's what Perseus didn't know was happening. While he's up there flying, a drop of Medusa's blood leaked right out of that satchel, just squeezed through the seams and fell all the way down to the desert below. He had no idea. He was too busy trying to get as far away from that nightmare cave as possible. That drop hit the sand. Nothing dramatic happened at first. No explosion, no lightning, nothing. It just touched down. But here's the thing about Medusa's blood. It wasn't just blood. All that power, all that pain, all that injustice that got crammed into her body when Athena cursed her, it was all still there in that blood. And when it hit the ground, the earth woke up. Perseus kept flying. His face looked calm, but you could see his jaw clenched tight. He'd done the impossible. Killed Medusa, took her head. But he wasn't celebrating. That satchel hanging at his side felt wrong, heavy in a way that wasn't just about weight. Down below, the sand started moving. First thing that came up was this shimmering light, like moonlight on water. Then wings. Not bird wings, something stranger. They were silver, and they caught the light in this weird way. Those wings beat the air a couple times, and sand went flying everywhere. Then hooves appeared, white as bone, a mane that looked like unraveling clouds, and suddenly there's this whole horse standing there. Pegasus. He didn't whinny or rear up or anything. He just stood there for a second like he was figuring things out. Then he lifted off the ground and flew, just like that. Like he'd always known how. He didn't go after Perseus or look for anyone. He just flew up into the sky because that's what he was meant to do. Perseus never saw him, probably wouldn't have called to him even if he had. Some things you don't try to tame. But Pegasus wasn't alone. There was another figure rising from that blood, slower and heavier. This one looked like a man, golden skin that gleamed like metal, muscles carved like a statue. He was holding a sword that nobody gave him. His name was Chrysaor. I won't tell you yet what happened to him, but I'll say this. He looked human, but something about him was older than human, and he didn't fly. He walked off into the sand and vanished. Some say he became a king. Some say a monster. I just know that not everything born from pain gets wings. Both of them were Medusa's sons, born from her blood when Perseus killed her. She died and gave the world two legends without anyone asking if the world deserved them. But the blood didn't all land in one spot. Some caught the wind, some hit rocks, some seeped into cracks in the earth that hadn't opened in centuries. Everywhere it touched, something changed. People say the first serpents crawled out of the desert sand that day. Not hatched, not born. Formed out of venom and sand and silent rage. They slithered under the sun with this faint glow in their eyes, like they half remembered something. They never knew Medusa's name, but they carried her curse. Farther east, a spring went bad overnight. People drank from it and had twisted dreams. They woke up with sharper teeth. Their babies were born with silver scales. Near the coast, a shepherd watched his whole flock turn to stone right in front of him. every sheep, every goat, every dog, all stone. He didn't tell anyone. Just left that mountain and never came back. I'm telling you this because it happened. When gods and heroes spill blood, the land remembers. It doesn't forget. Perseus didn't know any of this was going on. He's up there flying with his eyes forward and that satchel sealed tight. But underneath him, the world was already growing teeth. Even dead, Medusa could still bite. So Perseus is flying along and he spots something massive on the horizon. At first, he thinks it's a mountain, just another big rocky peak covered in snow. But as he gets closer, he starts seeing the real shape. That's not a ridge, that's a shoulder. That's not a cliff, that's a knee. Those aren't boulders, those are fingers gripping the edge of the world. It's not a mountain, it's Atlas. The Titan. The one who lost the war against Zeus and got sentenced to hold up the sky forever. He's crouched there with the heavens on his back, and he's been there so long even the gods mostly forget about him. But he's not asleep. His eyes are open, and he sees Perseus coming. Perseus circles once, carefully. Those magic sandals make this hissing sound in the wind. He descends just close enough to talk, but keeps his distance. He's not stupid. Atlas doesn't move his head. His voice rumbles like an avalanche. You're the one carrying the Gorgon's head. Not a question. Perseus hovers there for a moment. I am. I need rest, Perseus says. One night of shelter, then I'll be gone. Atlas looks up at the sky, pressing down on him. I've held this weight since the war ended. I don't sleep. I don't rest. I don't fall. I just hold. Perseus waits. And I know the prophecy, Atlas continues. A son of Zeus will come and end me. His voice isn't angry, just exhausted in a way that goes back thousands of years. I don't want to fight you, Perseus says. You're carrying her death in that bag, Atlas says. Silence. Clouds drift past. Then you can't stay here. The words aren't mean, just final. Something goes cold in Perseus's chest. He doesn't beg or argue, but his hand moves toward the satchel. Let me show you something, Perseus says quietly. Let me show you what she became. Atlas looks at him, and for the first time in all those ages of holding up the sky, the Titan blinks. You want to know what happens next? It only takes one look. Perseus opens the satchel, not slowly, not ceremonially, just opens it. The clasp clicks, and for one brief second, Medusa's dead face sees daylight again. Even dead, that face has power. Her mouth is open slightly, her eyes are closed. But Perseus tilts the bag just enough so Atlas can see inside. Atlas looks. Everything stops. No scream, no thunder, no cracking sound, just this deep, spreading stillness. Atlas's knees don't buckle. They root into the earth like trees. His arms don't fall. They turn into stone pillars. His hair becomes rock, strand by strand. His face goes still. Not peaceful, exactly. Just finished. The sky settles onto him, not as punishment anymore, as permanent architecture. Atlas isn't holding up the sky now. He is the mountain the sky rests on. Was it mercy? I honestly don't know. I don't know if Perseus meant it that way. I just know Atlas stopped fearing the prophecy because it had finally come true. Perseus closes the satchel. His hands are steady. His breathing is even. He doesn't say anything because there's nothing to say. The Titan became a landmark. And the boy who killed Medusa turned a god into geography. Perseus flies up again, those sandals catching wind, leaving behind a mountain that will never move. Was it right? Even I don't know. The sky stayed up, and Perseus was already heading toward the sea. The air feels thinner now. Not just from flying high, but from what just happened. Perseus keeps going, sandals steady, cloak torn and ragged, satchel bound tight to his side. He doesn't look back. Not at the mountain. Not at where Atlas stood. Not at the sky. There's no triumph in him, just forward motion. Think about what he just did. He turned a Titan to stone, not with strength, not with his sword, with what he's carrying. That's the real burden now, not the head's weight, but knowing what it can do, what it's already done. A monster, a legend, a god, all silenced with one glance. And he's the one holding that power. His face looks different now, not proud, not scared, just older, like something got taken from him too. He flies over mountains that don't have names yet, over valleys where cities will grow someday, over those deserts where Medusa's blood is already twisting things. And now below him, the sea, dark and endless and hungry. He doesn't see her yet, the girl chained to the rocks, but she's there, waves lapping at her feet, wind pulling her hair, nobody coming to help. Not yet anyway. But that's next time. This story ends with Perseus in the air, the satchel sealed, and the world below quieter and stranger than it was this morning. The Gorgon is dead, the Titan is stone, and the boy has become something even the gods are watching carefully. Next time, I'll tell you about the girl. And here's something you should know. She wasn't waiting to be rescued. She wasn't waiting at all. Until next time, much love. I am Harmonia. Oh, before you go, one more thing. Traveler, if you enjoyed our time together in the halls of Olympus, there's a gift you can give in return. Just a little thing. Leave a 5-star rating and share this podcast with a friend or whisper it to the wind. The gods love a good rumor. And if you're curious about the mortal world, its twists, its triumphs, its tangled histories, come find me in my other podcast, History's Arrow. There, we follow the path of humanity, one story at a time. Until next time, walk wisely, speak kindly, and never underestimate the power of a good story. Your friend, Harmonia. This podcast sails out to you from Red Buoy Media, LLC. The stories we share are licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 4.0 International. That means you can pass them along, remix them, and even argue with them. Just give us credit, don't try to sell them, and share responsibly. Thanks for listening, friend. Until our next adventure.